Join us on Now We Consume. Take in the knowledge, take in the laughs, indulge in the topics with us. The Now We Consume podcast will take you through the parts of your day you normally dread. Why suffer through the existential crisis of life alone when you can do it with us? And Now We Consume.
This is not meant to be a conspiracy episode or podcast, but we may cover some topics that dance that line like a toddler dances on their mother's last nerve. This podcast is rated I, for immature audiences only.
If you've ever sat in traffic on your way to work, having an existential crisis because you know someone is making more money than you by selling pictures of their butthole online, then you've come to the right show. This is the Now We Consume podcast. I'm your host, Pip. Tonight, as always, are my co-hosts, Gibbles and Gibbs.
Hi.
Welcome back to the new year, everybody. It has been a hell of a roller coaster ride. We are 11 days in, and we've already seen more news than we should have seen in 11 days than 30 days.
Well, I will say I did not have on my bingo card for 2026 is Maduro getting swiped to the U.S.
He got
did not see that
out of his bed, like a pumpkin out of a pumpkin launcher. It was amazing.
Oh yeah, and the stories that are coming out of Venezuela about what we did.
We're gonna most likely do a whole episode on the Maduro thing, but all of that happened as this episode was getting written, and I didn't want to derail. So we'll just do an episode on that.
Mm.
So before we get too far in, I did want to kind of go over a few things. We're going to ask for your guys' help. I know I swore in the beginning I wouldn't do this, but we're going to do this. We would like you guys to try to share the show with everybody. People you know, people you think might enjoy the show. So, like, subscribe, pass it along. That's all I'm going to say. Don't forget about Dubby. We still have the partnership with them. It's great energy drink mix. The flavors are pretty awesome so far, and it works great. 10% off using the code CONSUME10. Give it a shot. See what you think. We're still gearing up for the live show at the end of the summer. There's going to be more information on that, but everything is still moving forward with that. So try to keep some time available. Want to attend.
I need to take the time off for that.
Yeah, please make sure you have that available. The last thing is we are still actively working on the merch. I'm hoping to have that available probably by spring, if possible. Because I know once I get into spring, my side business is going to be gearing up and I will have no time for the side stuff. So hopefully we'll have the merch ready to roll by spring.
Yeah, hopefully if I get my lighter fixed on my 3D printer, we can get some manly masks printed.
Hells yeah.
I never thought about that.
Yeah, we're going to
I'm working on it.
We're going to have all kinds of cool shit, dude. Some of the stuff we haven't even had a chance to tell you about because with everything that you've been doing, you've just been,
I know,
you've been fucking gone.
I know.
It's life been very life unfortunate. And you hard.
It's been non-consensually lifing. It did not ask me for anything. So I don't know. It is what it is sometimes, but yes, we're getting through it.
That's why I've been doing so well lately. The universe took its thumb off me for a while and found Gibbs.
It's been my turn.
he is the universal fleshlight right now.
Yeah, it's fine. It's okay.
So tonight's episode, we are going to talk about some things that have been going on in the workplace. AI has been at the center of a lot of discussions on this channel, among other places. And job replacement has been kind of at the forefront of all that. This whole thing kind of boiled down from a discussion that I had with an engineer friend at work. And the gist of it kind of came down to something that he had said. AI makes the easy things easier and the hard things harder. And that and some various Reddit posts, I know Reddit is a hellhole and a rabbit hole in and of itself, but kind of got everything turning in my head, and I did a lot more research and looking into all this. And a lot of people either are extremely concerned or actively seeing jobs going away and being replaced by various forms of AI and computerized automation. So something that I felt that it was worth talking about was the fact that we're weaving together three distinct but overlapping crises. We have incompetent leadership, people who are getting put into positions of power and authority, who are firing people who are capable of doing work and placing them with the AI agent, the automation. The death of the career ladder. You don't see people sticking around for the 10, 15, 20 years and getting all the knowledge to know all the things, because it just doesn't happen anymore. Not worth it to it. And the physical skill gap. You've got people who are coming out of college with all the knowledge on paper to build these wonderful, amazing things. But if you give them a box of parts and a bunch of tools, they're completely useless and they have no idea what to do with it. We were making the joke at work that we've got a lot of theoretical engineers now in various disciplines. They will ask technicians to do the engineer work that they should rightfully know how to do. And yeah. I feel like the title of engineering technician is something that should be more applied or pushed for, because you've got people who are jack of all trades kind of people in the workplace that are like the go-to guys or go-to people at their place. I'm sure you both have seen those people. I'm sure you guys might even be those people. Or you guys listening. Any input on that?
I always think of, there's a very famous quote from Fallout New Vegas.
Okay.
Which is, there's basically a scientist that's working at a station. And he says, they asked me if I had a degree in physics, and I said I had a theoretical degree in physics, and they said, you're hired. paraphrasing, but effectively, yeah. One of the things that I think people don't realize is most knowledge and experience, or really the ability to know how to do certain tasks, is predicated on the knowledge of how to do things below them. So you can't just start off immediately knowing how to build computer processors without understanding like basic electrical theory, basic wire, basic things. It's the culmination of all that knowledge, all those layers and different disciplines. And one of the problems you're having is we've, as a society, we've spent probably the last 60, 80 years of people becoming really good at one very specific thing. But then what happens when you introduce something like AI that can not only be very, very good at researching one thing, but then not knowing how to actually apply it, is now we have almost entire generation of people that are coming right out of college that they are very knowledgeable in terms of how things in a book value or an academic way can be used, but no fucking clue how any of it is applied or how to have any sort of creativity. Because unfortunately, in most colleges and universities, creativity is not something that is fostered or studied or replicated or even taught in any way. It's a lot of it is A plus B equals C, or this is the answer we're looking for. How do you get to this? And I'm not saying it's for all things in every discipline and everything, but you can see it by the people that are coming out of educated systems, whether it be in almost any discipline. I hate to say it, in almost any discipline.
Yeah, creativity is actually forbidden to the point in a lot of colleges. It's very frowned upon. Creativity and free thought.
But they're, yeah. Indoctrination, though, on the other hand.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think it comes from just basic problem solving where the method isn't necessarily laid out for you. It's how are you going to fix the problem and justifying your answer, which is not something that's done as much as it should be in a lot of disciplines.
Yeah.
But
so I've got everything kind of broken down here. We've got the case of the press button executive. So you've got the shortcut to power. That's That's where you've got all these people coming out of college, and they have these nice, pretty, shiny, sparkly certificates of paper that say, I know all of this stuff. I can do this job. And then they're placed into the position of manager or project lead, project director. All of a sudden, you've got this 20-something with zero real-world experience who is suddenly in charge of the lives of a handful of people. They're just coming out of college. They have exposure and experience with the newest, latest, and greatest technology out there. But these people have been working with technology older than that person themselves. Their first thought is, let's replace all of it. Because I know of some stuff that's way more efficient, and it's going to be cost-effective, and it's going to do their, it's going to do all these people's jobs by itself. We can replace 25 people with one AI bot, and it's going to cost $10,000 and save the company millions, and it's going to be wonderful. Ask Klarna how that turned out. They fired 700 people and replaced it with a chatbot. They had to rehire almost every single person that they let go.
And I bet you everyone that they hired negotiated for a higher salary than the people that they let go.
Yes, they did.
So it's a net loss.
Yeah,
get fucked.
We'll go into that one a little bit further. But you have to realize it's not an age attack at that point. It's an experience attack because they didn't climb that ladder. They're not one of those people that worked their way up those rungs through the company. They don't know what a solid foundation looks like for that company. They're building a corporate skyscraper on the sand. Because an AI told you that the sand was statistically stable at that point. So it's kind of a mirage of efficiency, more or less. The AI will make things faster, but not necessarily better. Because you've got incompetent leaders mistaking lowered overhead for increased value. So I'll let that one sink in. If you have, if you're listening to this and you've got any experience with this at your workplace or in your life, please let us know, because I'm only going off of what I've been able to see in my research. And yes, Gibbles, I know you've, I want you to chime in here in a second, but let us know, because just the research that we have found, we have enough that this episode was at least worth doing. But Gibbles, go ahead. After you take your drink.
Yes. So, like in my job that I'm currently doing, some days enjoying, I've been told that turnaround time on just training somebody to do my job is like 2 years. And that's just fixing copy machines. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the fact that they're, oh, dang it. I lost my train of thought. Repeat the question again, because I got all excited. I'm sorry.
God, it's early, man.
It's not that.
I was saying that getting replaced by the younger people that didn't climb the corporate ladder.
Oh, yeah, we also have that issue too. Mm-hmm. The constant churn of new employees who think they know what's best and then find out really fast that no, that's not going to work, and then they're gone.
Yeah.
And then you get the next set in and they have zero experience, and because everybody's being told this is how it's done. But let's not look at what the real world situation is. So then you get all these geniuses that think they know what they're doing, don't want to listen to nobody, and then find out really fast that, no, you're a moron. You need to listen to the people with the experience. And next thing you know, they're not working there anymore.
Yeah. There's a Forrester research that found 55% of bosses who fired people for AI already regret it. Mm-hmm. They fired,
like you said, Klarna.
Yeah, they fired the experts that they had on site for a future promise that didn't yet exist, and then they're suddenly realizing that an AI agent cannot solve $3 million an hour manufacturing crisis. Mm-mm. So those people aren't just losing jobs; they're losing the institutional memory required to fix the world.
Right,
and that's the kind of tribal knowledge that you get with the different people climbing the ladder and sticking around to actually run the place.
Well, yeah, in my job, I mean, I was going to say real quick, like in my job specifically, there is quite a bit of information that is out on the internet that you could use to do the job that I do, fixing the copy machines.
Right.
However, there is still a lot that, you know, just for me doing research on my own, just seeing, you know, what's out there to see what kind of cheats and tricks and stuff like that, the people that have knowledge,
right,
them way more than I do, that's put it out there. And then still every once in a while, the AI coming back with, you know, I actually don't know, because the company did not release that information. So, yeah, it's good stuff there. But then there's times where if it's not on the internet and it's not public.
Yeah, it just takes experience.
Yep.
So then that kind of brings us into the death of the ladder and the barbell workforce. We've already kind of talked about the death of the climb. But the hollowing of the middle. Since 2022, entry-level hiring in AI-exposed fields has dropped from between 13 and 20%, according to Stanford and Signalfire data. So we're creating a barbell structure, which is a few expensive aging seniors at one end and a mass of AI agents at the other. Little bit of a side note. Since late 22, early career workers aged 22 to 25 in those fields, they've seen a 13% relative decline in employment, while senior roles in the exact same job stayed stable or grew by up to 9%. That was in that same study. So I'll let that sink. People who are able to stay at their jobs are staying longer.
Well, it's like once you've reached a certain point in some companies where you're upper echelons of management, you're not going to leave. But it's also the case that's probably the few jobs that have also grown with inflation or beat inflation.
Right.
So that's why they're staying.
There's also cases where they can't afford to let you go. And they will literally pay you whatever they can keep you for as long as they can.
Because unfortunately, they didn't train anyone else below them.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I saw that at my job. A gentleman who was in his 80s just retired last year. I've spoken about it before on the show. In his 80s, no person should be working in their 80s. Now, he did do it because he wanted to, but still.
That's rare.
There was a part of him that was there because he kind of needed to. Mm. Because his level of knowledge, there was nobody behind him for a while. So.
But this is what happens when you have companies that no longer reward people, like the younger generation. Yeah. They don't reward you for sticking around with a company, so what happens is none of us do. One of the things I've noticed, I don't know, and I've actually asked around, because this has been something I've talked with my friends a few times about. So I'm 30. 32?
Anyways, man, I don't even know. Was bad.
I know I'm past 29, so I don't really care. Numbers don't matter. It's all a lie. But the point I'm getting at is, like, there's a lot of people that just don't end up staying, and that there's no one to replace them. No one stays long term. There's no upper management or middle management. That's the problem. There's like this huge decline in middle management that's just ceased to exist in a lot of companies.
Or you get management that thinks they know what the hell they're doing and they run a business into the ground. Seen that a lot too.
And it's also like if you're constantly changing management, it's they're always changing their styles, their expectations, what their goals are. So there's no like good set data to pull from. Like something I noticed from a previous company I worked at was they had so many changes in management that they had like an 8-year time span where every single year their sales and goals fluctuated with all their projects. And it was like, how the hell do you know if anything's working? If every year you get a new management company come in and completely wipes the board. It's like, how are you this stupid?
Yeah, when you're in those kinds of companies and you look around, you're like, how do you people not see this? Some of it is they do, and they just can't get the solutions in place to fix it in time. And a lot of the other times, it's just money. Like corporate structures above won't fund the solution because it's not cost effective. And then on the flip side of that, how is it not cost effective when that person leaves and takes 30 years of knowledge with them that nobody else has?
Mm-hmm. There is no AI that will replace your experience.
No. You know,
we're probably 30, 40 years before that would happen.
Okay. You said that phrase. I was going to save this for after I was through this section, but I'm just going to go ahead and read this. I left this as a comment on a post in Reddit, but I wanted to read it because I thought that it hit a very specific note. We have spoken about the importance of the trades on this show many, many times. And I think now more than ever, it's more important to push that for our up and coming generations of workers. And here's what I wrote. Skilled trades, at least here in America, will most likely be the biggest growing and hardest to replace or outsource over the next 10 years. Beyond that, there might be robots available that can do some of the work, but there are a lot of industries where a human will always be needed. So over 20 years, I think it will be a mix of human and robotic assisted trades. I had mentioned the conversation about the theoretical engineers, and I kind of went into that. Customer service technicians get a bad rap because they are a technician. The use of technician kind of gets thrown around pretty loosely. But the customer service technician, I interface with the customer to handle a complaint. The oil service technician, I change the oil in your car, and the Geek Squad technician, I hook your computer up to a remote service that does the work because I don't know how to. So the technician is getting undervalued in the main workplace. So I think that there's going to be some sort of a reckoning between the trades and the colleges, especially in regards to AI and how it's utilized in the various fields of our world. Other jobs that require degrees now may be replaced by people who learn to efficiently prompt AI and can do so well enough to replace multiple workers at a fraction of the cost. And with the singularity rapidly approaching, I don't think there's one. I don't think it's one that we're all worried about. This is the one I fear, where the black hole that sucks everyone in is our own apathy towards other issues and overarching greed of the corporations that wield the AI.
Yeah.
So
it'll be the ones that have so much money they don't even give a shit anymore.
Yeah, because they can afford to survive it.
Yep.
So, but yeah, the changing corporate structure. I mean, we've got entirely too many people dependent on the wrong people in the wrong place. So, how do you get a senior in 10 years? If you fired all the juniors today, the grunt work was where all the tribal knowledge it gets absorbed. And so over a set number of years, you have the biggest black hole of skills knowledge just developing and growing, and it will eat the companies from within. Mm-hmm. So then you have the whole Klarna situation. When you replace a department with an AI agent, like Dukan or Dukan, D-U-K-A-A-N, or as in the case of Klarna, you aren't just saving money. You are performing a lobotomy. What the hell was that?
I don't know. You said Dukan. I just thought of a Dukan.
Dukan, yeah, sorry.
sorry.
Yeah, you're performing a lobotomy on the company. And then you're forced to rehire or just hire new, and then you're reset and pushed back several months to even years in your production. There's a rehiring trend. By later this year, many companies are quietly rehiring humans after realizing that AI, in fact, cannot handle the edge cases that they were promised that they could. Yeah, I know, right? 55%. I already read that.
Yes.
Yeah, 55% of companies are already regretting the AI-driven layoffs. So, something else.
Yeah, because they're all...
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, because they're all the same. You know, if you take the time to, like, oh, let me talk to it. It always is exactly the same. Doesn't matter which AI you're using. It's always the same BS. Yep. And you can absolutely... I'm getting to the point now when I'm using it, I can tell that, you know, I'm not talking to a person. I'm talking to an algorithm.
Yeah. So I wanted to kind of go over some things that we found to include for this. New graduates now account for just 7% of new hires at big tech firms. That represents a 25% drop from 2023 levels. So if you're coming out of college, you maybe have a 7% chance of getting a job. Yay degree.
Underwater basket weaving for the win.
Exactly, right? Entry-level job postings in quarter one of 2025 were 45% below the five-year average, which is lower than even the early months of the COVID-19 lockdowns. That's according to the Stepstone Group. In the UK, there are crashes. Tech graduate job postings in the UK dropped by 46% in 24, with another 53% drop projected for this year, according to an ISE report.
Damn.
So couple that with the 55% regret. They're trying to rehire, and people are going other places. They're going offshore. They're competing for jobs. I mean, it's coming back into the employee market, thankfully.
Yeah.
So. Anything else you guys wanted to add on to that part?
The fact that Gibbs is so tired, he's yawning on stream.
No, I'm sorry. I'm fighting a war with my stomach. Don't mind me. I am.
You're losing that war, buddy.
No, the toilet lost that war. Rip in peace.
You're going to pull an Eric Cartman just to stay on stream.
bathroom.
boys and girls, do not eat,
shrimp.
Oh no, shrimp. Thank you. I was gonna say sushi. I was like, that's wrong. Don't eat shrimp the second day.
He's been in a bathroom so long, his brains are gone.
I know. I feel like Stan Marsh on the episode for like the largest poo.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's where I'm gonna be in like 3 hours, 4 hours.
Unless we find out Bono is, you know, he is a poo.
Yes.
Such a good episode.
So I also have something I wanted to mention. With all the AI that's getting used, we're starting to see it in retail spaces, and it's having an effect on the consumer as well as the retail giants that are using it. I don't know if you've heard much about the digital tags that are getting used and how they're changing prices for customers.
Yep.
Because
I've heard about it. I haven't seen it, but
people tend to carry their little black mirrors around all the time. And these things are laced with metadata. The stores are buying our data hand over fist. So if the three of us are in a store and we're all in the same aisle, this box of Oreos might cost me $4. It might cost Gibbles $3. It might cost Gibbs $6.
Because a fat joke, fuck you.
According to their metadata, Gibbs eats more Oreos or uses more Oreos for something.
You're not wrong though. I do love Oreos.
They're amazing.
But
I still want to try the other cookies though. Got replaced by Oreo.
I can't eat Oreos because I watched that video where they withstand the flamethrower. So
It's processed food. What do you expect?
I know. I've gotten away from ultra processed. So, but
I wish I could.
Yeah, no, it's Walmart and Target and Instacart who are guilty of doing this. And I think Instacart's already coming under a class action lawsuit.
There's no way it's legal though. You can't just ultra legal. Price per
no.
That's such a big discrimination lawsuit. Like, absolutely. Come on.
Because their prices are up because the companies are charging more because they can't.
For less.
They're literally increasing the price and just seeing what people are still willing to pay. When the product stops moving off the shelf, they will back the price down.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's been driving the cost of living increase for the past 5 years.
Yep.
Just wait.
All things. Chains,
because but, all the COVID shit's gone. Supply chains are back in full swing. Everything's getting made. There's no shortages anywhere.
Yep.
The ports are open.
But yet the prices have not come back to normal.
No.
Because why would they? Because think about this. The unfortunate part is during COVID, where did everybody make their money? The stock market. So what happened? Mm-hmm. Every other company had to grow. What's the only way to continue your company growing? Making profit or being able to justify on paper that your company's growing. So what do? You increase your product either in supply or in cost and revenue. But at the same point, you also keep adding up things like fake job postings or fake expansion, fake numbers, so that you can justify bigger investments and bigger investors to come on board. It's all kind of this compounding problem.
Yeah, along with shrinkflation. We all know that one.
I despise shrinkflation. I want to kick people in the ding-dong that do that shit.
Oh, like, it's disgusting.
If we could go back to like 1999... and just get sandwiches, get bags of things, boxes of things, and bring them to now, you would be disgusted at the size difference. Orange juice, the Tropicana orange juice bottles. I just saw a thing on that the other day showing that they're not even a full half gallon now. They're not 64 ounces. They're like 58 and a half ounces.
Yeah. Everything has gone down in size just enough where you don't completely notice it, but if you really look at it, I mean, cereal is the same way. If you look at a normal box of cereal that's not family size, king size, wherever they come up with these stupid names, and you really look at the box of cereal, it's so much smaller than it was just 6-7 years ago. It's insane, but they did it in just a way so that way the American populace doesn't notice that it shrunk that much, unless you're anal retentive enough to look at the ounces that the product is made with, you know, supplied with, I should say.
Now, to be fair, I don't buy the boxes. I buy the oversized bags because my children.
Oh, and those. But those gone up in price, too.
They have.
Those used to be like $2-3 a bag. Yeah. And now all of a sudden they're more than freaking what you pay for in a box.
Yeah. But you do get a lot more. So. My children can at
still
least make a bag last a few days versus a box was like two bowls.
Jesus. I can make a family sized box of chocolate Chex last at least a week and a half.
No. I have one child that will eat cereal morning, noon, and night.
Jesus.
We've all been there.
Yes. Hey, cereal's good sometimes. So moving on, You have all of these issues kind of coming to a head, but that leads us into one of the biggest issues when it comes to replacing people with AI, the physical skill gap.
Yeah.
You have a lot of CAD jockeys out there. They are the digital engineers of the modern era. They're a genius when it comes to simulating something, but they absolutely lack every physical skill known to be able to anything talked about in the opening. They are actually a liability on the job site. Mm-hmm. And do you guys have any of those guys like that in your work site, Gibbs? I feel like you would be more apt.
So I'm going to have to keep names very vague because of where I work.
You can use fake names or something.
But I have noticed in a couple of previous employers where you'll get people that say they went to a school or a trade school or somewhere else, And the sad part is, I hate to say it, I've seen this happen from even some trade schools where they'll say they have the knowledge or they've been taught certain things, but they're completely missing some basic functions, some basic skill sets, or what I'm seeing now even is that some are so reliant on AI to answer certain questions that it become a nightmare. You know, you're asking AI to solve basic things that you should already know. Like, so for example, with me currently running an auto shop, that's automotive is my field of study. One of the problems I see is, like, for in diagnostic and testing work, one of the problems you have with modern vehicles is some of the systems are really complex. There's a lot of stuff involved. There's a lot of overlaying and integrated systems, lots of different modules that all talk to each other. And some people think they can just go to Gemini or to Grok or ChatGPT and say, you know, I have a 2013 Mercedes GLK 345 and I have this module, this, this, and that. What is the problem? And you can't sell that kind of work. You can't do that kind of stuff. The amount of people that are coming into my shop that are like, well, this other place said it was this. And I literally take their concern, copy and paste it into Grok, and it comes up with that. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, they didn't even try. They just sold a $350 diagnostic and being like, oh, it's this thing. No, it's not. No, absolutely not. So I'm seeing it kind of on both ends where you have some people that know they super reliant on it and it's wrong, but they have the lack of basic skills to be able to even disprove it. They wouldn't even know the other end to be like, well, this is wrong because of blank. So that's the problem. They're using a tool that now they don't even know how to properly use, but they can't even disprove the answers it gives.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, from what I've seen over the years, just from before AI became big when I was a police in DC, you'd have geniuses walking down the street. They have this in their hand. Everyone knows you can use that to find maps. You can find locations. You can't get lost with it. And yet I still had people that came up to me and going, do you know where the Lincoln Memorial is or the Smithsonian of Air and Space Museum?
Yes, I
do. And I'm just looking at them. Right. And I'm like, I know where it is. You know, I work in the city, so I know where all this stuff is. But I'm just like, the first question I come out is like, well, do you have a smartphone? Yes. Did you bother looking at it? Well, you know, it shows me, but I don't know. So I saw it coming like 12, 13 years ago that people were they're so reliant and expecting something to think for them or someone else to do it for them that what's happening now is just, it was just going to happen. People are idiots out there that they're so reliant on something that they just can't think for themselves.
Funny enough, I actually had that set up as a whole topic for an episode. I don't know if it's enough to generate a whole episode or not, but that whole fact of how reliant people are on AI and search engine thing, it's dumbing people down.
It is.
The critical decline of critical thinking.
Yeah, you ain't kidding.
I hate to say it, but it's awful. I see it all the time.
Yeah.
The amount of people that will show up to my shop and they will try to research something about their car, but then also not look at the obvious fucking problem. Be like, wow, my car is making a bunch of noise and has a bunch of lights on. It says low oil. I'm like, did you check the oil? Why would I do that? It's like the fucking Patrick meme with the wallet. Like, this is your name. Yes. This is your face. Yeah. This is your ID. Like, yes. This is your wallet. No.
It's like the old derogatory jokes where, you know, the wife has the car for the afternoon and she comes back going, I don't know what all these symbols are, but, you know, it all popped up. And now the husband's having to explain to her, well, did you do this? Did you do that? You know, it's turning into that, but with everyone.
No, right. with everyone.
That's what I'm saying. Everyone. Unless you're in the trades and you actually use your brain for critical thinking, right. You know, and you can apply that to other stuff, you know, that's what's keeping a lot of us in, you know, the hands market, you know, doing work with our hands is keeping us in business because you have so many people out there that just don't know how to do simple things.
Well, it's also because they've never had to. You right. have entire groups of people that, I mean, the most they do with their hands is prepare their lunch or their food. Like, I would be that person, but like they put a TV dinner in the microwave, and that is literally the extent of their. And I get not everyone has to work a job that you work with your hands. That's kind of the goal, is that we can all specialize and do our own thing. But it's like, if you can't do basic things, like very basic, yeah. I'm talking things like check your oil, turn off a circuit breaker, knowing the button to turn on off the furnace on your house, or like, I don't know, right. you see a big flashy light on your car and you wonder, you know what? It's still
running. Or change the battery in their fire alarm. How many videos have we heard that joke on?
Yeah, that's pretty out there. That's all. Being able to work with your hands is such a critically important thing. And like you said, just the basic stuff, even. It's, my God.
I mean, just this morning, I saw a video on Instagram where somebody's like, I have this major life hack. This is amazing. Go out and buy this large piece of beef, and then you could slice it down and make individual steaks, and you save so much money. And it's like, oh my God, I feel dumber just watching this. That's a no shit, Sherlock.
Yeah.
Why is that considered a life hack? That's just no duh. You're going to save money when you buy in bulk. Yeah. You buy meat in bulk and you slice it down yourself. Guess what? You're not paying the butcher to slice everything up into a steak. Thus, you save money.
You're cutting out the middleman by becoming the middleman.
Right. It's like, duh, how is this a life hack?
Well, yeah. But some people have never had the expectation or even tried to do a lot of things themselves, so they think they're rediscovering the wheel. You know, they think like, oh my God, look, I can do this. It's like, yeah, you always could. Like, you know what I love? There's like a little side note. I love all those people rediscovered that you can make your own bread.
Uh-huh.
Like maybe it's because of where I'm a TikToker. Look, I'll be real. I love homemade sourdough and other bread. But I grew up on a farm. We've always been able to make bread. I have my own greenhouse. Like I've slaughtered chickens and pigs and all this stuff. So for me, this is not new. But one of my favorite things is white women on TikTok rediscovering, oh, this is how they did it. They made their own bread, and you could do these things. It's become this whole cult following thing. It's like, you could have always done this. This is not new. This is what we used to do. This is
like somebody getting a bread machine, making their own bread with that, and going, holy shit, I could just done this myself, and it comes out even better.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Homemade stuff is way better than the store-bought shit. It's amazing, isn't it?
Unless it's Wonder Bread. You can't beat Wonder Bread.
Well, you can, you just have Wonder Mash.
True.
That's a good joke. I'll
give you that.
Oh, that's good. Can't be mad at
but
that.
No.
So, yeah, getting back on topic. it's what we do here, man. We have the digital versus the physical. So in software, the code is the world. In the mechanical, civil or electrical engineering, the model is just a guess. And we all know what happens when the engineers keep guessing. The techs have to fix shit and stay over for 5 hours and just dinner with their families for the fourth night in a row and work overtime and, you know, get 4 hours of sleep and be expected to show back up onto their shifts on time. And, you know, we won't go down that rabbit hole tonight.
Air Force.
No.
The amount of times I've cursed at an engineer.
Wholeheartedly think, and I'm pretty sure I've said this on the show before, any person who wants to be an engineer should be forced to be a technician first and spend time out in the field. At least a year or two.
It should be part of your degree. Your degree should take 5 years, and one of those years is you're a technician.
Yes. Or even a 6-year degree, and two of those years you're a tech. But the amount of times that, well, one job in particular, when I was in the freezer, we had this brand new module come in for the machine, completely engineered and then deployed to the field. We set it up in the machine exactly as specified. The engineer came out on site to do it. He helped with, or he oversaw the installation. We got it all installed, start the run. All of a sudden, nothing physically ran through this piece of equipment because didn't account for the stuff in front of it. You would have thought the engineer was smart enough to think, oh, there's something going into this, not just I have to design this for this function, not what was in front of it.
Yeah.
Because on
paper, how many other people?
On paper, it was supposed to be a straight piece, not a curved piece coming to it. It was a tray intake for stacking item trays in a warehouse. It was never designed to take a curved section at the front. So that was like a half a million dollar bungle right there. I mean, it was not cheap.
And you know what's crazy? They don't lose their jobs over stuff like that.
Oh, God, no.
You know what's crazy?
Part of the process.
You could be a regular worker, like a regular tech, and you could blow up a $5,000, $10,000 motor in a car, and you get fired. But yet, because you're an engineer, and you make a $500,000 mistake, it's like, oh, well, back to the drawing board. Oh, no. Like, I've never understood how corporations are
working with that. I don't know why. I'll have to go back and try it again.
You just literally wasted the salaries of like 7 or 8 employees over your fuck up because you were too lazy to figure it out. Yeah. Or like do a trial run or something like that.
And that's another thing. The engineers that are coming out now don't have the physical know-how to set test benches up to do trial runs, or they're too afraid to do experiments.
If you can't experiment, you don't know it well enough to design it.
Yeah.
It's that simple. If you're not knowledgeable enough to be able to manipulate it and test it and to put it in different situations, you clearly are not smart enough to engineer it.
Yeah.
I've worked on equipment where they guaranteed the life of a part for the life of the machine, and within 6 months that part is dead. Mm-hmm. Even in the military, we had an aircraft on the flight line. The avionics part for the radar package was guaranteed for the life of the jet. Yet within a year to 2 years, they're having to cut the nose cone off the jet because something was wrong with the radar and they had to fix it. But remember, it was guaranteed by the engineers that it wouldn't break.
But it broke.
Yes.
I have a good one. Okay. So we had a Mercedes GLK come in the shop for a no start issue. Turns out that it's going to need a starter, which fine, fair enough. The engineer's labor time for Mercedes says it takes about 3 hours to do the starter in that because it's in the valley of the motor. Well, one of the bolts that puts in the starter is way too long. So I have to get it out, drop the motor, 14 hour job.
That's why they can't keep technicians because of the warranty. The hours are not enough for what needs to be done.
Uh-huh.
So because in their ideal environment, it will fit out technically. But in the real world, you have to drop a motor to do a starter because an engineer was too dumb to be able to make the bolt a quarter and eighth inch shorter so you can fit it out.
Right.
Imagine.
Wow.
The idiocy. But I see that stuff all the time. And unfortunately, I hate to say it, nobody got fired for that one. Oh, no one said like, wow, this is going to be, who the hell buys a car and wants to spend $3,000 on a starter replacement when almost every other vehicle, it's a $500 job. But that's a whole different discussion.
Yeah.
But I see it all the time.
That brings us to the grade 8 bolt test. Grade 8 bolt test. I'm terrible tonight. Talk about the engineer who can model a bridge in AI-assisted CAD but doesn't know why you can't weld certain metals or how vibration affects a real-world joint over 10 years. And yet you've got guys out here who can literally weld a dick to a snowman.
Yeah. Are we talking face or...
wherever you want.
Midsection? Yeah. Oh, okay.
He's got a
big flumpy donkey nose.
So,
you know what, though? Something you did bring up there, which I didn't realize, AI is not going to know material science that well. And you're talking about material science, where the idea is like how these different metals and different materials interact with each other. It's not going to have any idea about torsion strength or compression strength and all these other different factors.
All the nuances and things.
Yeah. I never thought about that until you brought that up with this. Yep. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, I've come across the situations where, from an engineering standpoint, I want to beat the shit out of the engineer from, you know, a copy machine company where they put something that's all plastic, gears, the gearbox, the rod that comes out of it to drive the waste toner box. I know a lot of people are going to know what I'm talking about, but it, because it's all plastic and there's really no lubrication inside the gearbox portion, it starts to squeak and make noise because it's plastic on plastic. Uh-huh. And after 6 to 8 months, we had a big company call in going, you know, all these brand new machines you gave us and sold to us are now making a god awful racket, just a high squeal noise. Well, come to find out, it's this stupid gearbox with plastic gears inside that are now all rubbing against each other, making a high vibration noise, I guess, high whine. And because it's all plastic, there's really nothing you can do about it. Oh, and because you got to replace it, you have to take everything out. Everything. The toner pipes, all this stuff that goes down the back of the machine away from where the pages are printed on, all this stuff to go into the box that's the waste toner. But you got to take all that out to get to the one stupid little part, because instead of taking the time to engineer it properly, because it's a high use item, they just went cheap on it. And I mean, I get it. You want to make money off of something that's already stupid expensive. But the problem is now, if it's within a certain time period, you're talking about a warranty. You're talking about labor and all that stuff that now you're going to have to pay whatever company is coming out to fix it.
Yep.
And I mean, in my case, I've learned that, oh, well, because it's making that noise, it's this plastic rod that comes forward to engage all the other plastic gears. And if I bent it ever so slightly, it made the noise go away. So all because an engineer was a dingle.
Yep. That's how it happens. A few things to kind of add into everything that we were just talking about. The recruitment paradox. We've got 76% of engineering employers struggle to recruit for specialized roles, even as they admit AI is improving their productivity. That's according to an IET skills survey in 2025. We have an apprenticeship void. 34% of large engineering businesses do not employ any apprentices, cutting off the on-the-job learning pipeline required for physical tuition. That's an IET study from 2025. There's an innovation gap. The top skill missing in the current workforce isn't AI knowledge, it's innovative thinking, roughly 42%, followed by technical and engineering specialist skills. You would think those are pretty important at 39%.
You would think so.
If they're not ever employing or bringing on apprentices or people to train, no wonder why.
Yeah.
And you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, because as soon as all those employees leave that have that experience, your business ends.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of them that won't survive. Like imagine, because here's the scary part. What's going to be, there's going to be a few businesses that are going to be willing to pay to train people down the road. Once this whole AI bubble and everything, once everything bursts and we're back to a more regular, not regular, but like the old normal kind of lifestyle thing. What's going to happen when all of a sudden you got a couple of companies say, you know what, we're going to be the one company in this area that we are going to invest in our employees. We are going to invest in people. And we are going to take the time to be able to say, hey, you know, we want you to be knowledgeable and understanding about your position and in this field. They're just going to take everybody. There's going to be a couple of companies dominating certain areas because they're the ones that are willing to train and take on these apprentices.
Right.
That wouldn't surprise me.
They'll be able to survive, whereas other businesses will fail because they didn't invest in the future. So many businesses are so caught up in the here and now, they never look beyond what's going to happen in the next 5 to 10 years. They're just looking at how much money. Yeah. They're just looking at how much money can I make right now.
Yep.
But it doesn't matter because, you know, in the next 5 to 10 years, guess what? you're going to have nobody to do the jobs that you need them to do to keep your business going. So not only are you going to lose all your employees and you're not going to gain anybody knowledgeable, but your business is going to go under because you're too stupid to take the time to do the one thing that you should be doing and invest in your employees.
Although I will say, I feel like the trades in general, and this is actually a lot of the older generation are probably now in their 60s that years ago they weren't very friendly to people coming in. There are a lot of trades that are really, really nasty to people coming into them that never really fostered that, wanted people to learn. There was this weird problem too, because I don't want to blame everything as well on just people not wanting to go into them because they're lazy. It's also because it's quite a hostile work environment in some cases. Yeah. I've heard of many unions kind of really, really, really being tough on people. And there's a difference between ragging on people and having some fun. And, you know, you say some jokes, you know, you call each other's mother or something, whatever. You have a little fun. Everyone has a little laugh. That's different. But I've seen some places where it's like, you know, they'll fill your boots up with cement and shit like that. And they'll lock your tools in someone else's truck, or they'll throw your stuff off a cliff. Like, I've heard numerous stories about that kind of stuff. They wonder why some people don't. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But that's why they wonder why people don't stick around. So there is a little bit of that in that environment where there are many trades that are really hostile. And then they wonder why it's all a bunch of 50, 60-year-old guys that are all sitting there smoking, being like, where are the younger people? It's like, well, why would they work for you at the same point?
Right. It's You're an asshole. Why would anybody work for you?
If I could sit my butt in a comfy office making the same amount of money, why the fuck would I work for you?
Yep.
So they need to realize that, hey, if people want to work trades, you got to make people actually want to work there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, when I was in the military, I mean, we had our jokes like, you know, hey, Airman, go find me some K9P, you know, because there were so many nomenclatures and little shortcuts to names and stuff. And I had one dude, he was walking around for hours looking for K9P until somebody finally explained to him, and he came back pissed, and I was laughing. I'm like, all right, now I got you. Let's do the job for real now.
Oh, shit.
The best one I ever saw was the crew chiefs. They had a brand new guy stuck up to the intake of an F-15. He had goggles, a full bunny suit on. He had the hearing protection, of course. They had him strapped up to the intake on the grate that they put on there to make certain nothing big flies in. He had a broom in his hand ready for the intake inspection or whatever it was they were doing for, you know, cleaning and stuff. And of course, everybody and their brother comes outside to take pictures of this poor bastard. I think somebody owed him some beer after that one, but yeah. But that was amazing.
On the ship, we had guys get the beds lifted up so you could get to your underbed storage compartment. Some of the smaller guys would get lifted up in their bed, and the bed would lock into position. So they would just get locked into the rack like that because they had an overhead. Because the beds were so small. It was like a phone booth. So they would get locked into their bed like that. Some people would actually get duct taped their racks. We had one guy get duct taped to the wall. Little small dude.
Yeah, we had one dude Agent Oranged or Clockwork Oranged into a chair when we were overseas. Yeah, felt bad for him, but it was still funny as shit.
We had a guy fell asleep in his chair in the shop, so several guys snuck up on him, and just three of them jumped him and duct taped his arms to the chair, his chest to the chair, and just kept him there for like 2 hours. That's good times.
Good times. Oh yeah. Have the first sergeant yell at you like, hey, why did you tape him to the chair? You know, you had him watching porn for hours. That was so terrible. He couldn't even do anything.
It was gay porn, sir.
Was teaching him a lesson. God. We were so bad.
Yeah. So before we move on, there's a little situation that can happen. What happens when you've got an inexperienced manager, like we talked about in the first part, who trusts what they call a paper tiger engineer, the CAD jockey, because the AI, which has never actually felt gravity, says that this design you're working on is optimal. Because to the AI in its world, it should work. It's perfect.
Like a helicopter, right?
It's never felt gravity. So how does it know that this bridge you just designed is in fact perfect?
Right.
It doesn't really get the full concept of load-bearing structures, load-bearing angles. It can understand the description, but it doesn't get the actual application of it.
And you would have to know, was the mathematics put in for gravity itself? Because we all know that, you know, constant force and all that. But you'd have to find out, did they do that for the AI? Because if you didn't, yeah, it absolutely will not understand that.
Right. And then go ahead.
Until you develop an AI that can basically interact with the world and the consequences of its actions in a somewhat relativistic relationship with those two, there's no way you can have an AI do certain things like that, because it has no understand of consequence. Mm-hmm. And it has no understand of the tolerances in the real world that you have to account for.
Right.
You know, because example, if you're talking about building bridges, you also have to be able to be able to account for things like the ground moving, earthquakes, you know, things shifting, wind, erosion, vibration over time, wind. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Corrosion.
Things that we took time to learn.
And there's no AI that can learn hundreds and hundreds of years of that information, not to mention factoring all the building codes and everything else and regulations and blah, 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 blah. Unfortunately, there's a reason why it takes thousands of people to build a bridge, because you got to have hundreds of people that know the laws and regulations. It's a pain in the butt. Yeah. But there's also, unfortunately, as much as I am not a big government guy, sometimes there's a reason. And that's one of the few times that there's a good reason.
Galloping Gertie.
Yep. Because, I mean, and kind of like you were talking there before, the loss of respect for the technician. Engineers used to be humbled quite often, in fact, by the machinists and the builders. Now they think that the digital twin is the reality. So everything digital is that's the proof of concept. So.
We have this weird problem where people think that education is more important than experience. I know we've already said it before, but
yeah, well,
I think we're now learning that honestly, education isn't as important as experience one-to-one. That's not the case.
You know, I'm glad you said that way, because that's a perfect segue to talk about the Dunning-Kruger effect and the Dunning-Kruger executives that are out there. If you don't know what the Dunning-Kruger effect is, it's when people with low ability at the task overestimate their ability. So you have essentially a prompt to power pipeline. So a degree today often focuses on management and ancillary skills rather than the actual craft. I mean, if you look at a college course layout, how many of it are ethics, of writing, feelings, gender studies, versus how much of the course are you actually learning about the thing?
So,
go ahead.
As somebody that went that route, those are called gen eds or generic educations. It's usually anywhere from 50 to 75% of what you take is usually involved with a gen ed or generic education.
And it should be the other way around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, here's the thing. It's all about making money.
Yeah.
And even if you go for a very simple degree, they want you there for between 4 to 8 years. So they're going to have you take a bunch of stupid stuff because you have to pay them. And because you're paying them more money, they can then employ more teachers. And those teachers are people that went to that school to study something. It's all a fucking pyramid scheme because they have people go there for stupid ass degrees so they can hire them so they can justify more kids to justify more stupid ass degrees.
Yeah.
So. Just saying,
Empowerment of free thought while in the tub or something, whatever degree program it is.
I don't know.
Or network security degree from college. But oh yeah, after you get the bachelor's, guess what? You still need certifications, but we didn't give you any of that. So you can't get the job you were looking for because, you still got a few $1,000s worth of certs to get the job. Mm-hmm. Because you didn't do that in the college.
It's useless.
You instead decide. Yeah, it's absolutely useless. Yeah. I got a degree that I can't do anything with because I don't have certifications.
This is something I wanted to ask you two, because you two are older than me, and you two saw this probably more than I did. But I've heard of stories back in the... Well, no. It's a good... Like, seriously, this is a good thing in this case.
Okay.
And with the stories, these stories that I've heard, I heard back in the 80s and 90s that there were a lot of tech companies that would hire people that not because they're educated, because they go to a local, like, computer store or tech store, electronics store, and say, wow, this person's knowledgeable. Hey, I work at this company, run this company. You seem really knowledgeable. Would you be interested in, like, being hired or working here? I've heard numerous stories of people that were just into it getting hired.
That happened
and
to me.
In my generation, that's a foreign concept. Like, I could not imagine, like, going to a music store or something like that, as knowledgeable as I am about stuff, and I'm being like, yo, do you want to work a Gibson guitar? Like, that's just not how that works. Right, but I've heard so many people from back in the day, back 20, 30 years ago, that they're like, clearly you know a lot, and we do the same thing that you're into. Do you want to work here?
Yep. That happened to me several times.
Like,
yeah.
Not only
I got done with college. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'm jealous of that. And I'm freaking from that era. You know, the amount of times that I've been told, oh, well, you don't have those certifications. And I've been doing this for God longer than you've been alive. What does it matter?
Yeah.
All that is a freaking racket anyways.
Back in my day, I could get a job just because I knew shit.
I know.
Right.
It pisses me off to no end, because it doesn't matter what you know. It matters what the piece of paper says that you know.
Yeah.
Right.
See, when it comes to some fields, like back when I was actively a technician, like an electromechanical technician, we had these box tests. You had to do a skills test on, and it was just a little crank machine with belts, pulleys, gears, and little things that it just rotated around, and it just did things. It completed a cycle. They would insert faults, and you would have to diagnose it within a certain amount of time. They would time you. And that was like the standard for a lot of places, was this box test to test your mechanical skill. They don't do that anymore.
Why?
Don't know. It's
probably because nobody has critical thinking skills anymore.
Nobody can pass the box test anymore.
It's probably because the management that's there can't pass the box test.
Well, you're damn right.
Yeah,
I asked that one
because
our managers were getting pissed off at us because we had too many things going wrong. They're like, "You guys pass this damn box test. You're supposed to be able to do this." I actually piped up one night and I said, "Can you pass that box test?" Everybody looked at me like, no, he did not. Then again, I was the only person that got laid off from that position too. So, hey, I call it like
I would have talked to a lawyer, but that's just me, you know.
Oh, they had just cause. The overarching company didn't want me working there anymore. Not the company I worked for. I was a sassy boy.
No way.
Me? Sassy? No.
No.
No. No. But we've got the degree just doesn't cut it anymore. And managers who are put in positions with those degrees, they don't understand the craft. They don't understand the difference between good AI output, good digital output, and actually having the confidence to discern correct AI output or correct digital output versus real world numbers, real world performance. There was a case study from CNET, AI scandal of 23 and 24. Management decided to use AI to churn out financial articles, because the people at the top didn't have the deep editorial gut check of the writers that they were replacing. The AI published massive factual errors that destroyed the site's SEO and reputation. What if, like, the media places started doing that? Now, this is happening in the medical field. The medical field are using AI, and it's actually generating false medical data that people are using and relying on for procedures, medications, and such. That's a really bad thing.
Yeah, well, remember Deep Blue? Uh-huh. Remember Deep Blue? Yeah, they actually had to take that offline because they found that that's what was happening.
Yeah.
And they were going to make that like a big thing with medical, but then realized real fast, like, whoa, it's just making shit up.
Yep.
What? On a side note, there needs to be a law about no AI medical. I'm sorry, but until that's like
until it's worked out, AGI, yeah.
Yeah, that there's no way that should ever be allowed.
Yeah.
Because then the problem is you can't sue anybody. Because, like, imagine who's responsible for your healthcare at that point.
Right.
You can't sue a computer.
Well,
and I'm not saying everything should be based around who you sue, but like,
I'd like to see somebody try because they're trying to make it so you can claim dogs or your pets on or with the IRS. So why not be able to sue a computer?
Time out. What?
What? Yeah. What?
You didn't hear about that?
Yeah.
Someone is suing the IRS to be able to claim pets as dependents.
Oh my God, I might keep my chickens. Oh my God. Right?
I have like 18 animals outside just for farming purposes. Oh my God, I can't even talk right now. I'm so excited.
I it's just pets, not like consumption animals.
I can carry my chickens like babies.
How dare you, sir?
No, I can lift mine up and hang out with them. No, they're dependent. Right. No, I'm fighting the IRS on this one.
Right.
Fuck you, Fed boys. No. I get to claim chickens are on now.
Yes.
Well, and if you get that, I'm going to have to pull my weapons out because each one has a name. They're all near and dear to my heart. They are family. I don't care.
Oh my God.
There's Cinnamon. There's Grenshaw. There's Jane.
You named your food?
Come on. No. They all have special names.
Okay.
Is that am I allowed to say my AR identifies as a chicken then? just start going through the safe,
Oh, shit.
One's Angela. Man. She identifies as a polka-dotted dragon.
Yep. So let me ask you guys this. If the person in charge doesn't know how to do the job manually, can they or should they be able to supervise the machine that's doing it?
No. If you're directly responsible for that action, it's one thing if you oversee a whole plant like general operations, but if your job specifically is to supervise the operation of one thing in particular, you should be able to take over that position if something happens. So yes. If you don't know how to do it, why the hell are you a manager?
Right.
Like how the hell did you get there?
That shiny piece of paper that says I can be a manager. I check all the boxes.
It's like that Ron Swanson thing. That's like, I'm Ron Swanson. I do what I want.
Yeah.
Like that's what I think of every fucking time. It's
not, I have a permit for that.
And I have seen that in so many areas though.
Oh yeah.
It's scary.
Oh, absolutely.
Or have you guys seen the case of like a lot of the older generation that's handing businesses down to their kids or grandkids? And then the similar kind of situations happening.
Yep.
There's several businesses around here. There's one of them that's in a lawsuit with the my local city because they handed it down to the granddaughter. And she hired a bunch of people that knew nothing, and they burned someone's house down.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah. So
don't have an experience and I could hire them cheaper.
Well, yeah, that's usually how it goes. What is it? Skilled labor is never cheap and cheap labor is never skilled, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tribal knowledge and black swan events. That's a fun thing about. You've got the Steve factor. Every company has a Steve, the guy who knows the legacy server crashes if the AC is set to 72.
You also have a nobody that works at every company as well.
Yes.
Keep that in mind.
Yeah. AI doesn't know who Steve is, doesn't care who Steve is. AI doesn't know the unwritten rules of a client's ego or the machine's quirks.
Yep.
So there's a hidden cost of relearning when the system breaks and the humans who knew it or knew why it would break are gone. Savings from that AI transition vanish in a single afternoon of downtime. Industrial downtime costs in the U.S. or industrial downtime costs U.S. manufacturers $92 billion with a B annually, often due to human knowledge errors.
Man.
Now, multiply that by AI not knowing what the hell to do. It's going to increase by a factor of probably 4.
Or better yet, what if AI thinks it knows what to do?
That makes it worse.
Wow, the server's running really hot. I'm going to set the AC degree to like 45, and then it absolutely burns the fuck out of the air conditioner. Like, I bet you there are ways. There's going to eventually be AI integration for a ton of things, and it's going to try to see, oh, here's a simple solution, and it burns the fucking place down.
Yep.
I tell you, it's going to, honestly, I hate to say it, it's going to be comical at first,
but
then it's going to get really serious.
Then it'll be bad.
And
there's also an education failure, and we've kind of touched on this already. Universities are teaching students to pass the AI test rather than solve the physical problem.
Oh my God.
Yeah. We're starting to graduate out more editors of AI content rather than creators of original thought.
Dude, AI should be fucking banned from schools.
I agree. Now, to the extent of integrating it into the programs,
yeah.
I feel like coming out
you should
of
learn how to use it as a tool.
Yes, exactly. Because it's becoming a fact of life and a facet of existence at this point. I mean, they will be our overlords one day. So we need to know how to interface.
I remember growing up in computer class, they taught us how to use Google.
Mm-hmm.
And they taught us all the cool little shortcuts and weird things. Computer science teacher is actually an older guy, but he was one of those older guys that was like, he had a bit of the touch of the tism, and he knew everything about computers and stuff like that. He was a wicked smart guy. But he was like, hey, don't rely on it, but like, here's how to properly use it. But I still expect you guys to look up things the old-fashioned way and do stuff this way. The same approach needs to be taken with AI, where it's like, it's a tool, it's a shovel, it's a hammer, it's nothing else. Mm-hmm. But, you know, here's how to use it appropriately. By the way, did you know in Google, if you do a search thing and you click at the end of it, minus AI, it gets rid of any AI search results?
Awesome. That's a useful
thing to have. To keep that in mind.
I've been doing that.
You know what I learned in computer class?
I swear to God.
How to play Oregon Trail.
Oh, I figured you're gonna see you learn boobs. I figured that was gonna be boobs.
No,
that was in math class.
Yes. 8008.
Yeah.
5311. Boobless.
Yes, sir.
Or boobies.
Yeah, I remember going through high school, and they're like, no calculators allowed. You are not allowed to have a calculator in math class. Now it's like
mandatory.
I don't even understand. It's like mandatory now. Yeah.
You know, I will forever forgive Mrs. Pratt. She was the seventh grade math teacher, really nice lady. But she said back then, you know, guys, you guys rely on your calculator so much, you'll never be walking around all day around having a calculator with you everywhere you go. And all I remember is my junior year when the first iPhone came out. iPhone came out. All of us had them, and we all bullied the hell out of her for it. And I still feel bad because my entire grade was like, nah, fuck you, you're wrong. So I apologize. We were all kind of dicks. But
yeah, that was the argument. If you think about it, I'm having like 20 thoughts. I saw an article. It's been a couple years now, but they had a list of all the 80s and 90s tech advertised from like Radio Shack advertisements that had been condensed down into a single cell phone now.
Oh, and there's like, so much stuff.
All the individual costs of those single pieces of tech. And it was like back in those days, it was literally tens of thousands of dollars worth of tech condensed into a single cell phone.
Yep. Yeah.
And it was just mind blowing to kind of sit there and think like, I grew up watching all that happen. I watched all this tech become a thing. I learned it. I learned about it. I sold a lot of it working in retail stores, Kmart, Sears. You know, I worked there. I sold, learned, and explained this stuff to people. That was my job. And then seeing,
I remember growing up and seeing MP3s become big.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Wave files were the thing, and then MP3 comes around. It's like, oh my God, it's a third the size, and it sounds amazing.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you had the MP3 players came out in the late 90s.
Yep.
And I'm sitting there like, oh, this is the way it's going to happen. Yep. This is what's happening.
Sonique was my favorite MP3 player because you could download little mods to put the visuals on screen, and these little stick figures would dance to the music, and I loved that one.
As sad as it is, I loved the Zune.
I never had one.
Microsoft Zune. Those were actually really cool. If they had advertised them better and made them, I don't know, the interface on it I thought was amazing. And it's just, unfortunately, Apple had better optics, I think.
The Zune was cool. The problem is the physical product didn't feel as nice as the first generation iPod.
I think that's what Zune, the issue was.
Software, I agree with you, interface with a computer way better. So I had both.
Yeah.
I was one of those guys, because again, music guy, when the iPod came out, this is one of the few Christmas presents I ever asked for, is I got, I believe it was the first iPod. I thought it was like a 40 gig back in like 2006, 2004, whatever. Huge. I could have any song I ever wanted on that thing. And I had it stolen from me in 2016. It was still working. It was stolen out of my fucking van. And whoever stole it, I can't say what I hope happens to you on stream because we'll get banned, but just so you know, you're the only reason I pray. Just so you know, whoever fucking stole it.
Oh, man.
Whoever
I can only imagine.
You are the only reason I pray.
Oh, wow.
Because I had all of, it was awesome. It still worked. But a buddy of mine had a Zune, because when I got the iPod, I did have a Zune. He was like, oh, that's cool, and he got one. He still had it working up until college. Like that, but that was back when things were pretty quality made, but they were really cool.
Yeah.
They were simple.
And the funny part is things were quality made even better before that. So that says something. Because even back in the late 90s, early 2000s, we thought stuff then was made like shit. So I can only imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I had a CD player that my mom gave me when I was like freaking four that it still worked up until a few years ago. I threw it in the trash because it was worth nothing to me because I don't even have any CDs. But I found it. I put new batteries in it. It still worked. I was like, are you kidding me?
Wow. Now, if it was made in Japan, that stuff was the stuff that was made to last. Like that was
It was an old Sony. Back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Sony stuff? Absolutely back then.
Yep.
You couldn't break that some of that stuff.
Sony and Panasonic, those were the ones that you just couldn't break them.
It was just like Nintendo Game Boy. You could slam that thing around and friggin' it continued working.
Those were the Nokia phones of devices back.
Yes.
You know what? I always wanted to know, as I joke with you guys, that when I die, I hope I see like a death statistic, like you do in a video game with all the stuff. I want to, how many people in this world were killed with a Game Boy as a deadly weapon, because it's not zero. I know it's not zero.
No, it's definitely not zero. Can't be zero. It's the same probably with the cowbell.
Not zero. So before we wrap the show up, some things to kind of consider how to become un-AI-able. Focus on the physical and the tactile and the relational. If your job can be done in a dark room with a screen, you are at risk. If your job requires a wrench, a site visit, or a nuanced negotiation, you're pretty safe. For those in leadership positions, a plea for institutional memory. Don't cut the rungs of the ladder that you climbed. So if you're somebody who is getting advanced through the ranks, remember where you came from. For the people that take those positions under you, they have to learn. And in front of and behind, there were people will need to be put in place. So something to think about, AI is a mirror of the person using it. If an outright idiot uses AI, they just become a high speed idiot. And we're currently living through a high speed idiocy bubble. We are in fact on the idiocracy timeline. I am convinced of this.
I just all I get pictures giving an idiot AI. I'm just like, yes, I'm stupid, but faster. Like, I never thought about it like that, right? Though.
So some things I wanted to leave everybody with, and again, chime in the comments if you guys want to, or get a hold of us otherwise. Is it possible that we've reached a point where our digital models are so perfect that we've forgotten the physical world is messy, rusted, and breaks in ways that a computer cannot predict? Or if we stop hiring 22-year-olds to do the boring engineering work, who's going to have the 20 years of experience needed to fix the power grids and whatnot in 2045? And why are we letting people who have never built anything make the decision to fire the people who build everything?
That's valid.
And with that, I have nothing else to add of value. We have literally touched on touched the tips of everything that I wanted to cover in the note.
I do really like your phrase, by the way. If your job requires a wrench, a site visit, or a nuanced negotiation, you are the future.
Yes.
100%. Bit of advice. If you're really good at dealing with people and are nice and courteous and you have manners, for some reason, you stick out even more than before. People don't know how to be kind and nice to each other and have manners and be approachable and pleasant. Do that and you're going to nail everything. Mm-hmm. It's weird. It's weird the amount of customers that come in that's like, wow, you're just really nice. I'm like, I'm just being me. Like, this is not me just trying to be like, oh, look how good I am. But it's like, apparently people are really fucking rude everywhere you go. And then I go to other shops and I realize, Jesus Christ, you people are miserable and rude. So just.
Or you come to other states pleasant. And realize how nice some people are in some areas.
I know.
Not me, though. I'm an asshole. So
not Gibbles. He's a dick.
But also, I'm a dick.
No one around Boston's happy. We all hate it here.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, all the AI in the world can't explain the sound of a bearing makes right before it seizes. It can't tell you why the crew on site B always ignores the manual. It can't tell you.
Third shift. Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely will never tell you that or that it's going to take the heat when a perfect simulation meets a very expensive real world disaster. So these are things that while AI is great, there are people who are making the decision to replace people with it and not take these things into consideration. So
it's all
from the bottom of my heart. I hope you, anybody who hears my voice is not affected by that.
Here's a really good real world example. You always see those videos about the guys that are taking super hot metal down the lane and then bring it around, and then for whatever reason something goes tits up and the metal goes flying everywhere, but it keeps coming out. You could almost look at AI like that, where it knows it's supposed to be shooting it out, but it has no idea what's happening on the other end and not realizing I should stop because now there is molten metal going everywhere and there's nothing to tell it to stop.
Yeah. So, I mean, unless you guys have anything else to add in, like I said, if you guys have stories that you want to share with us, hit us up on the socials, send us an email, nowweconsume@gmail.com. Tell us any stories that you've got. If we get some good ones, we'll read them out on the next episode.
I mean,
why not? Until then, keep your hands on your tools and your eyes off the prompts. We'll see y'all next time.
Jewels.
Oh, those prompts.